Good morning, church. Good morning, Evangel. We're so glad you're able to be with us this morning. Can you stand with us? We're going to prepare our hearts to praise and worship the King this morning. The Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Amen? Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let's make His praise glorious. And so we're going to celebrate the gospel story with a song that might be new to some of you this morning, because Jesus is alive. Amen? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're going to exalt Him in this place and glorify His name. Come on. Come on, put your hands together.
And come, let us worship our King. And come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great.
See what I say.
See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. Because He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh, God, He has done great things. Yeah.
You've been faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore, because You have done great things. And I know You will do it again, for Your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. You will do great things, yeah. Oh, hero of heaven, You conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have, oh, hero of heaven, oh, hero of heaven, You've conquered the grave. You freed break every chain, oh God. You have done great. We dance Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. And hallelujah, God, above it all, unshakable, hallelujah, You have done great things.
Sing all together.
And hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, You have done great things. All together, sing, hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, unshakable, hallelujah, You have done great things. One more time, hallelujah, and hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, unshakable, hallelujah, You have done great things.
Oh, hero
of heaven, You conquered the grave. You freed every captive, every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awakened alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great. Oh, hero of heaven, Yes, you have. One more time. And hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God. Unshakable. Hallelujah. You have done great things. Have done great things. You are doing great things. Come on, let's praise Him this morning. Above it all, unshakable, unmovable. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign, 'cause we are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. 'Cause we are here for you. Only you, Lord. We are here for you. Sing it again. Let our praise. Let our praise. Be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. Only you, O Lord, we are here for you. To you. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Come on, every voice. Let a shout be your anthem, your renown. Fill the skies. We are here for only you alone. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead. pitch your 5-foot down. Yeah.
Oh. Sing together. We welcome you.
We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome you in this. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, we welcome.
Be welcomed in this place. Come, Lord, welcome in this place. In every heart, in this room, we welcome you, Lord. We welcome you in this place. To you, our hearts are open.
We welcome you with praise. We welcome you.
Amen. We welcome him with praise. We welcome you with love and joy, and we're just so glad you're here. Why don't you take a moment and say hi to someone before you're seated this morning? Wow, thank you. You have some energy this morning. Well, welcome to Evangel today. Those of you who are here in the building, and it's good to see your faces. For those of you who are on the live stream, it's good that you can see ours. And we're glad that you could join us this morning and be a part of our service together. If this is the first time that you've been here, we want to extend a special welcome to you and tell you that we're really pleased that you're here. And we're just want to come alongside and serve you and make you feel at home and help you in any way that we can. And if you would fill out the connection card in the chair pocket in front of you and leave it at the information desk as you exit this morning, then we can know that you were here. And if you want us to follow up with you, you can indicate that on the card, and we'll be prompt to do that. So just want to make sure that you feel welcome and seen here this morning. I have a couple of announcements. The first one is this is a great day in the fact that after our service, it's our fall barbecue, and there's going to be food available, free food available. Yeah, some people get really happy about that, about food, and especially the free part. Hard to find free food these days. So anyway, you're welcome to be here, even if it's your first time. Whoever, any of you are here this morning, please stay. Have some food if you have to go, if you want to eat before and run. We won't be insulted by that, but you're welcome to be here, be a part of it. And we are doing the barbecue down on this level today, so we're sort of testing out our new setup here. So the food will be served from the back, and there will be, you can sit in some of the side tables, you can sit in the pew, you can walk around outside. We'll open these doors up if you want to go and explore the community, the vegetable garden we have going back there, and you're welcome to do that. I'm supposed to say something, and I don't remember what it is about the barbecue. Oh, so it's after, so I don't do it now. Okay. I have nothing more to say about the barbecue at this time. But apparently I have to say something after, so I'll check back in with you about what that is. So after, but okay, that's it for that one. Just also on Thursday, September the 28th at 7 p.m., we are hosting a worship and prayer gathering here in the sanctuary, and we'd like you to lock in that date, to mark that date, and if you can be here to be a part of that with us, Thursday, September 28th at 7 p.m. for a worship and prayer gathering. Also, Pastor Scott just asked me to remind if youth, if you are in junior or senior high, youth is on Thursday at 7 p.m., and I know they'd be excited to have you come and be a part of that. If you have children that are newborn up to age 3, anytime during our service, you can take them to the nursery. If you go through these doors over here and down the stairs, right on your left-hand side is our nursery. You can leave your child there. They'll be cared for, and you can pick them up at the end. And if you have children who are age 4 up to grade 4, you can start making your way around the side here up to the front, and those who are leading you today, well, your volunteers will meet you over to the side. Age 4 up to grade 5. It was only a matter of time before I messed this up. You know that, right? It's only a matter of time. So age 4, grade 5. You can meet over here. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time. And if you would prefer to give electronically, you can send an e-transfer to giving@epcoakville.com. Thank you. God bless you. Jono, handing it back to you.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name, let's sing it again. What a wonderful, what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Stand together. Death could not hold you.
And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life. You have no rival. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name. Death could not hold, and death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life. Yeah. And you have no rival. You have no equal. And now and powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand. What a powerful name it is. The name.
Just your voice, lift it up.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. We love the name of Jesus. Of Jesus. Savior, most high, Lord, our healer, you are baptized. Oh Lord, there's nothing like the name of Jesus, all powerful, all present, nothing like the name of Jesus. Love your name, love your name. We love your name. One more time. What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. Powerful name.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free. I'm a child. Yes, I am. Free at last. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my forsaken, I am. You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am. You say I am.
Come on, sing it out.
I am chosen, not forsaken.
the sun sets free, always free. I'm a child. Yes, I am. My father's in my father. Here's a place for all. I'm a child. Yes, I am. Come on, let's sing these words again. I am chosen.
Thank you.
You are here, turning. You are here, turning lives around. That's what you do. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Sing it again. You are here, Lord, turning lives around. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Just one touch from the King changes everything. Oh, and just one touch from the King who changes everything. Just one touch from the King changes everything. So I lift my eyes to the King. He's changing everything. everything. Come on, sing that with me. So I lift my eyes to the King. He's changing everything. One more time. I lift my eyes. I lift my eyes to the King. He's changing everything. Yes, I lift my eyes to the King. He's changing everything. For you are way make, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are making a way where there seems to be no way. You're the God who moves every obstacle, every mountain out of your way. I praise you for that, Lord. Sure.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 21, verse 7. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono and team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. When I was in high school, the common thing to do at lunchtime, and I've talked about this in another regard, is to walk up to what we called the mall, which was really little, and play in the arcade there. We would play pinball and video games. And I personally only had interest in two games. And there you go. Pinball, it was Centigrade 37, and a video game, it was Pac-Man. Wow. Still know those games. It's great. I can remember standing at the Pac-Man machine with one hand on the lever and one holding a quarter, believing that this was the time I was going to conquer the game and finish as a winner. If you're imagining me playing Pac-Man, you should see Jen playing Pac-Man. That's another whole, she puts her whole self into it like she does with everything else in life. I spent a lot of quarters over the years, but the outcome was always the same. Game over. Game over. It always amazed me that you could go from such anticipation and hope and have money to defeat and failure so quickly and be broke. Now, all of us experience various degrees of failure in our lives. Some failure as simple as dinner that didn't turn out, or a cake that didn't rise, or a sports team that didn't win. And some more significant failures, perhaps, such as the failure of a business, or the failure of a marriage, or the end of a serious relationship, or the failure of our parenting process. Now, last week, we launched our fall sermon series entitled Defining Moments, and we said that some of the defining moments in our lives are thrust upon us through experiences or circumstances of which we have no control. But most often a defining moment is a point in our lives when we are faced with making a significant pivotal decision, and what we decide in that moment can affect the trajectory of our lives. And so today we're going to consider Peter's failure in denying Jesus. But what I want us to see is that His defining moment was not his failure. His defining moment was not a game over screen. His true defining moment was being restored by Jesus and moving forward to greater things. And so today we will simply be reminded that failure is an event, not an identity. Failure is an event, not an identity. So let's work our way through. We're going to cover a fair bit of scripture this morning. I just read that one verse because, you know what, I tell you, I found that verse I read this morning very moving. I just imagine Peter in that moment and all that he's been through and all that he's been processing and the burden he's carrying, and someone says it's the Lord, and seeing him jump into that water and run, just for me, that's a powerful verse. So we're going to start with confusion. In John chapter 13, you might say, well, you already started with confusion, and you lost me like 5 minutes ago, but hopefully I can get you in here. In John 13, we read about the night before Jesus' arrest and the day before his crucifixion. Jesus was with the 12 disciples in the upper room. They're sharing the Passover meal together. The focus of the evening was Jesus preparing them for his soon departure. Danger was looming outside the room, and Jesus was talking about dying, and he was talking about leaving them and going to the Father. Yet despite Jesus' teaching and his efforts to help them understand, Peter and the other disciples, they didn't understand. And so Jesus had indicated that a great cost would be involved in laying down his life. There was going to be a significant moment. And Peter, who was sincere and genuine, well, he wanted to be a part of this too. He wanted to go with Jesus. And he said, I want to go with you. I'm willing to go with you to the very end. And Jesus said, Peter, you know what? There's going to come a time you're going to follow later, but it's not now. This is not the time for you, because there's a work that I have to do that needs to be done first. And so this is not your time. And so then Peter responded to that by proclaiming that, listen, no, Jesus, I am ready and I am willing, and I want you to know that I'll even die, Jesus, if that's what it takes. Because Peter believed that he was ready to die for Jesus, but the truth was he was not ready. And Jesus knew it. This moment was not about Peter. It was about Jesus laying down his life for Peter and for the others, for the whole world. It was not about Peter laying down his life for Jesus. And so Jesus told Peter something that would impact him significantly. As the conversation unfolded, not only did he tell Peter that he was not ready to die for Jesus, but he said, Peter, you need to know that before the rooster crows at dawn, you're going to actually deny me 3 times. And Peter was confused. He's confused. He doesn't understand. He can't imagine a moment where that would ever happen. He can't imagine that that would be possible, that he would actually do that once, let alone 3 times, let alone in the next few hours. Now, if you look at the rest of the passage, you'll notice that the conversation that unfolds throughout the rest of this meal involves other disciples, but there's no record actually of Peter speaking at or you know, from that moment on. He doesn't engage in this at all. I just imagine him in my mind. He's devastated at the suggestion. He's confused that he would ever do such a thing, that he would ever deny Jesus, the one that he loved so much, and in fact just offered to lay his life down for. So we have this moment of confusion for him, where he's being told he's going to do something he can't imagine he would ever do it. That moves us along to the failure. John records in chapter 18 that while Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and the disciples are having a nap, that Judas arrived with a band of temple soldiers to arrest Jesus and take him to the high priest. Peter and an unnamed disciple discreetly tracked and followed Jesus and his captors from Gethsemane across the Kidron Valley to the residence of the high priest in Jerusalem. Now we're told that the unnamed disciple is well known to the household of the high priest, and he was able to get access into the courtyard at the high priest's home. So he and Peter are given permission to enter. And so we're told the first denial came at the entrance gate of the courtyard. A servant girl was attending the gate, and she recognized both of the disciples. And so she asked the question, "You're not one of the disciples, are you?" And Peter replied, "I'm not. I'm not." And so we're told that Peter and the other disciple moved away from the gate, and they moved over to a charcoal fire in the courtyard to warm themselves. Jerusalem being 2,600 feet above sea level, this is likely a chilly spring night. Charcoal fires provided heat and low light, perfect for Peter. He can get warm, but he can lay low and not be recognized. And as he's warming himself over the fire, he's asked a second time by some others, "Aren't you one of the disciples?" And we're told that Peter emphatically replied, "I'm not. I'm not." Now, when Jesus was arrested in the garden, we're told that Peter drew his sword and he cut off the ear of a man named Malchus. And Jesus rebuked Peter for doing that. He said, "Peter, you know what? This is not the type of kingdom that I came to bring." And he healed Malchus of his injury. He put his ear back on. And we're told that there was a relative of Malchus who was present around the fire. I mean, that's the thing about hanging around with religious people. Someone's always related to somebody. And so you got to be really careful what you say. Not that you shouldn't be otherwise, but I'm just putting that out there. And so he looked at Peter and he said, "Didn't I see you with Jesus in the garden?" He's thinking, "I'm pretty sure you're the guy I cut my cousin's ear off." He was sure he saw Peter, but we're told Peter denied it again. And immediately the rooster began to crow. Now, John doesn't give us any further information, but Luke does. And Luke tells us that in that moment, in the moment when the rooster began to crow, that Jesus looked right at Peter. He made eye contact with him. And both Mark and Luke tell us that Peter, in that moment of locking eyes with Jesus, went outside and wept bitterly at his appalling failure. What he never thought was possible, what just a few hours ago he declared would never happen, had now just taken place. He had failed. The final part of our story is his restoration. Peter had failed, but it wasn't game over. It wasn't game over. In chapter 18, John records for us Peter's defining moment, his defining moment. It was early in the morning, and the darkness of light was giving way to the light of day. The disciples had fished, we're told, all night without success. And as the sun began to rise, they were likely wet and cold and discouraged. One thing to be wet and cold when you have a lot of fish, but it's another thing to be wet and cold when you have nothing. And in the meantime, Jesus was on the beach, we're told, but they didn't recognize him. Maybe it was the morning mist, or they're so preoccupied with what they were doing, they didn't notice him. We're not really sure why. But in that moment, Jesus called out to them and asked if they had any fish, and they said no. And so he instructed them. He said, "Well, throw the net on the other side of the boat." And when they did, the catch, we're told, was so great that they couldn't land it in the boat. And suddenly, in that moment, it's like eyes came open. And one of the disciples recognized Jesus and told Peter, they said, "Peter, that's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's Jesus. That's Jesus on the beach." And we're told that Peter put on his outer garments and he jumped into the water to get to Jesus while the others followed with the boat and the fish. For Peter, this was a moment of mixed emotions, great joy and great fear and anxiety. He's excited to see Jesus, but no doubt conscious of his failure at the same time. We're told that Jesus had a charcoal fire burning with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus liked to cook too. I think that's great. He liked to build things. I think that's great. I'm just like Jesus. The last time that Jesus had broken bread with Peter, he told him that he would fail and deny him. This time, as they're breaking bread, he's restoring him. Jesus was showing Peter that he still loved him, that he was not disqualified because of his failure, that failure is not an event, is an event, it's not an identity. Peter had failed, but he was not a failure. Jesus then asked Peter three questions. Now, Peter on many occasions randomly communicated to Jesus and said, "You know, Jesus, I love you more than the rest of them do. I love you the most." It's like kind of like us talking to our favorite child, right? Like, I love you most, but don't tell the others. Well, Peter's like, you know what? Jesus, I love you more than they love you. That's what Jesus said. So, Peter, we've been through a bit here. Do you love me more than these men? And Peter's response was, you know that I love you. And the second time Jesus asked, but do you truly love me? Jesus said, you know that I love you. And then the third time Jesus asked, do you love me? And Peter replied, you know that I love you. I don't think he rolled his eyes, but in light of Peter's declaration of love for Jesus, and in this moment that they're having together, Jesus reinstated him in his ministry and said, Peter, I want you to take care of my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to watch over them. I want you to provide for them. There's an important task for you. There's a significant responsibility, something that's the closest and nearest and dearest thing to my heart. I want you to care for my sheep. It's come a long way. Now, it's important for us to see some parallels here. Peter denied Jesus three times, with the final time coming at the break of dawn while around a charcoal fire. We can't help but see that Jesus is reinstating Peter at the break of dawn around a charcoal fire, asking him three times if he loved him. And then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. Because as we said last week, the words follow me means to keep on following me. Don't stop following me. Like Peter, you fell out of line. You got off the trail, but you need to fall back in behind. Don't stop following me, Peter. See, Peter failed, but he was invited to keep going. He was invited to keep following, to not allow his failure to rob him of the responsibility and the privilege of following Jesus and being a part of what Jesus was doing. Am I controlling this or are you? Me? Wow. There are two things that I would like to focus on from our scripture today. The first is regrets. Like Peter, I would like to suggest that all of us have likely had moments when we have declared that we would never do something, only to end up doing the very thing we said we wouldn't. I mean, a really good example of that is we're growing up and we're like, I never want to be like my parents, right? I don't ever want to be like my dad. I don't ever want to be like my mom. And then all of a sudden there's that moment and you realize without even being told, oh man, I'm my mother. I'm my father, right? You know what I'm saying? We're never going to do it, but then we find ourselves doing it. And there are a lot of things in life that we may say, I'm never going to do that. And then we end up doing the very thing we said we wouldn't. And sometimes those things result in embarrassment, and sometimes broken trust, and sometimes deep pain, and sometimes a destroyed reputation or a broken relationship with others, a broken relationship with God, a destroyed marriage or family. And so we need to be careful because, like Peter, we are all capable of sinning, of doing wrong things, of hurting others, more than we might like to think or even admit. I'm sure that Peter had many moments when he wished he could go back, where he wished he had responded differently. If only I had responded to that servant girl differently, or the people around the fire, or, you know, Malchus's relative. If I had just responded differently, things could have been different. When he wished he had done the right thing. I sometimes wonder if he was reminded of his failure every morning when the rooster crowed. Or I wonder if he was reminded every time the smoke from a cooking fire drifted in his direction. See, the truth is, he couldn't go back. He broke trust. He was disloyal. He abandoned Jesus at a critical time. He failed. But his failure was an event, not an identity. He couldn't change the past, but he could change And he couldn't change what he'd done, but he could change the future. He could decide to not allow a significant moment of failure to define him as a failure. Now, I'm sure that all of us have some regrets in our lives. If we don't, we probably should get a couple. Probably means we're lacking some level of self-awareness. I'm sure we have some level of regrets in our lives. All of us wish we could go back to certain moments, to certain things. Wish we could do things different. I mean, how many of you have raised your kids and wish you could, man, if I went back, I'd do it different. I'd do so many things different. I would do so many things different. We wish we could do something different. Wish we'd not done what we did, or if we could just unsay what we said. I can't believe I said that. I would do anything to take those words back. We feel like a failure, but like Peter, we can't go back. What's done is done. What's said is said. It can't be undone, and it carries consequences. It's the reality of life. So there's regrets, but most importantly, there's second chances. Guilt and shame often cause us to travel down familiar, predictable roads. For Peter, his failure led him down the road to Galilee, to his old life, a familiar life, where he could create a future for himself and his family, despite his shame. Okay, you know, I followed Jesus, I put all that time in, I failed him at a critical moment, I'm just going back to what I used to do, try to figure out what's left of life. We sometimes do the same. We fail and we feel guilty, and so we head down roads that seem familiar and comfortable, where we can depend on our own strength and efforts to chart the best future that we can. For some, it may mean walking away from faith altogether in your church community. That's just it. I've failed, and I feel the best thing for me to do is just walk away from it all. It might mean walking away from your marriage. It may mean walking away from your family or for friends that have been a big part of your life because you believe that's your only option. You got to leave all that behind. It might mean walking towards things that are not good for you. And so while Peter was doing this, Jesus showed up. And I want us to notice that Peter didn't go looking for Jesus. Peter was looking for fish. He wasn't looking for Jesus. And Jesus showed up. Jesus came to him. And he didn't even recognize Jesus at first. Jesus was there and he had no idea he was even there. But once he recognized that Jesus was there, well, he came running. Folks, Jesus doesn't wait for us to take the initiative. He doesn't. The cross is a reminder for us that Jesus took the initiative to take our sins, to take our mistakes, our poor choices, our failures on himself. He initiated that. And whether we recognize him or not, he's right there. He's with us. He's waiting for us to recognize him, to see him in the moment. And when we do, to not keep running from him, but to run to him. Even when you go down the wrong road, you're way down the wrong road. You've gotten out from behind Jesus, and you're off somewhere on your own, and you've messed it up, and you're gone down the wrong road. Guess who's there? He's there. Jesus is there waiting for you, ready to bring you back to the right, on the right road. And to boot, he's making breakfast. If you are sincerely repentant, and those you have hurt are not willing to forgive you and give you a second chance, or if they are willing to forgive you rather than give you a second chance, then that's an incredible blessing, and you should value that opportunity. And if you're sincerely repentant and those you hurt can't forgive you, they can't move past it, they can't give you another chance, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is still offering you forgiveness and a different future. If you're repentant. Even if others can't forgive you, he can forgive you. Now, at the end of every Pac-Man game, as I stood there staring at the screen, feeling the disappointment of another failure, the screen would in a moment change. And it would change from game over to what? Ready. Now, what's interesting, not ready with a question mark. Like, it's not saying, okay, loser, are you ready to lose another quarter? No, it's not a question mark. It's not asking you if it's ready. It's declaring you to be ready. Exclamation mark. Get ready. Let's try again. Let's do it again. Folks, we can't change the past. We can't change what we've done. We can't change what we've said. But with Jesus, we can have a better future. Failure is not an event. Or sorry, it is an event. It's not an identity. It's an event. It's a moment. Or a series of moments. I mean, I'd like to invite our worship team back. It was at daybreak around a charcoal fire that the rooster crowed, announcing Peter's failure. It was at daybreak around a charcoal fire that the loving embrace of Jesus announced Peter's restoration and reminded Peter that failure is an event, not an identity. I know for some of us have had to endure a long, dark night. Many of us have had to face our greatest fears. Many of us have lost hope because there appears to be no way out. There is no way forward. Many of us have given up on ourselves because of our failures. And we are engrossed in anxiety and depression, and we are engrossed in just putting ourselves down because we can't get past what we've done. But I want you to know today, the dawn is breaking. The darkness is lifting. The glimmer of light is beginning to penetrate the darkness, and hope is rising, and God is working. And Jesus is right there with you, even though he may feel like a million miles away and you don't deserve his presence at all. And you can experience a second chance. Because there's no darkness and there's no failure ever powerful enough to extinguish the light and the love and the hope of God. We will all fail. We will all experience regrets because of our failure. But Jesus will meet us there in our darkest, most hopeless place and offer us a fresh start, because failure is an event, not an identity. Ready. Get ready for your second chance. Grab a hold of it. Engage it. Accept it. Start moving forward. Would you stand with us this morning? The worship team is going to lead us, and I'm going to pray at the end, and after I do that, I want to give you some instructions for the barbecue this morning. But I want to say, as we're here in this place this morning, I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've done that other people know about. I don't know what you've done that nobody knows about. I don't know. But what I am asking of all of us this morning is just to, in these next few moments, to allow the Spirit of God to search us and know us and bring to our attention the failures and the deep-rooted pain and the things that we need to overcome to move forward and see Jesus right there with us and to see his love and see his mercy and see his grace and know that whatever road we have gone down, he is right there waiting for us to acknowledge him and be restored. Let this be your defining moment this morning. Yeah. Your failure is not your defining moment. Your repentance and your restoration is. Don't let your failure be. Don't let it be. Peter didn't. Don't let it be. Jonna, would you lead us this morning?
No to Jesus.
Jesus, I surrender and all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Frieda Bittner, who was allowed to go home this week from the hospital, but she still needs our prayers, still needs God's touch in her life. We're praying for Bertie White, who Bertie's been in the hospital about 5 weeks now, still has time to go, rehab ahead. Praying for Grace Lang, who's in the hospital, has been moved into rehab. We're praying for Sandra Clark's mom, who's in the hospital at this time. And this morning, just before the service, I found out that John Massey's dad had passed away this past week. So praying for them as well. So let's bow together in prayer. Father, this morning, we all stand before you today. You know our hearts. You know our lives. We bring before you our failures, our mistakes, our brokenness. We're grateful that you meet us there. I thank you, Lord, for those of us in this moment who have taken this opportunity to give those moments to you and to find afresh in you your grace, your love, your mercy in our lives. I thank you and celebrate that today, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we think of those who are not able to be here today, Lord. We pray for Elfrida and Bertie and Grace and Sandra's mom, Lord. We just pray that you would work in their lives. We pray for your healing. We pray for your strength. We pray for comfort and peace for family members, Lord. And Lord, that you would just give wisdom and direction as they're dealing with these medical concerns. May they know that you're right there with them. You never leave them. You never forsake them, God. You're their strength and their hope, and you are faithful. Lord, we pray for John Massey and his family today as he grieves the loss of his dad. We pray for your peace and your comfort to come, Lord, and strengthen their hearts and strengthen their lives. Would you be with them today and in the days that follow? Bring hope and strength to them. Father, today we thank you that we can celebrate community together by sharing food with one another. We pray, Lord God, today that you would bless each and every one that's here. We pray that you'd smile your favor upon us as you see your children loving and interacting with one another. God, we just pray that these next few moments would be precious and special moments for us, Lord, as we celebrate what it means to be a part of the body of Christ in every aspect. So we thank you for that, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.